Welcome, everybody. This is Share Enjoyment special share on Megillas Eicha. We've never done this before, but in lieu of the fact that we've covered other Megillos, we've touched upon Megillas Rus, we've touched upon Megillas Esther. Those are the happier Megillos. Eicha is a testament to things that we've done wrong, and very few religions have an entire portion dedicated toward all of the grievances that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with us, insofar as us being castigated, the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and the second on the same day. So there's what to be said about Eicha, and we're going to explore that for the next few minutes. So please bear with me as we go through the first chapter in Eicha. We begin with Eicha Yashba Badad, that Eicha refers to the fact that we sat alone, that the city was once very populous, and now it's no longer. So Rashi tells us that Yirmiyahu HaNavi is the one who wrote Sefer Kinos. He wrote the Megillas Eicha. And Yoyakim, who was the Melech al Yisrael, who was the king of Israel at the time, was unimpressed with a reference or within the context of what Yirmiyahu had written, that it says over here, Eicha Yashva, Eicha Yaiv, Eicha Yuam. All of these sad descriptions of the calamities that will fall upon the Jewish people. His response to all of this was, Ani Agever, I am still the man, meaning I'm still in charge. And here Rashi is telling us something very powerful, that he was not able to fully comprehend the gravity of the situation. The word Badad, Rashi tells us, means Galmud miyoshveha, means the void, solitary, devoid of any people living there. Eicha yashva badad ha'ir rabasi am, that it was once a populous city, ha'isa ka'amana, and now it's like an almana, like a widow, rabasi bagoyim, sarisi bamdinos, ha'isa lamas, that that the word almana is a very difficult word, because almana is like a widow, meaning not a widow. So Rashi tells us, "V'lo amana mamish elakiisha shahalach baala l'mdina sayam v'daito lachzar etzla," that it refers to a husband who went away overseas, and his intention is to return. However, he's not yet home. So while he's away, she feels the anxiety of not being with her husband, and so that distance is a great deal of discomfort, and Rabasi Bagoyim, that means that we were great, that, you know, she was great among nations. Sarisi Bamdinos, a princess among the provinces. Haisa Lamas has become a tributary, meaning it's become really, uninhabited. And that also speaks to, even during the time of the expulsion, in 1492, when Queen Isabella and Ferdinand exiled the Jews from Spain, you still had Don Isaac Abarbanel, who was the chief minister, the finance minister for the country. And when the Jews were exiled, even though he was given special permission to stay behind, he went with the rest of the Jewish people. It's interesting, I was reading in the Sefer here on Tisha B'Av that in order to boost the spirits, he actually allowed them to listen to music, which I think is quite unusual. But it was a very difficult and sad time, and he had to somehow get their mood still up in order to revitalize the future state of Israel, whatever that he imagined it to be. And Rabasi Bagoyim, great among nations, Sarisi Bamdinos, Jewish people have a tendency of excelling, and so therefore they become princes among the nation. But now the nation of Israel has become desolate. Bachosiv Keba Laila, the second pasuk, that we weep at night, v'dimasa alachya, and the tears are on her cheek. Ein la menachem mikol oyveha, she has no comfort from her enemies. Koraeha bagduba, all of her friends have betrayed her. Hayila la oyvim, they have become her enemies. Rashi tells us, b'chosuv keh, shtei b'chios al shtei chorbanim, that there are two cries. The reason why it says b'chosuv keh, a double language of crying, is to symbolize that the two Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Balayla, why is it that at nighttime it says Balaila as opposed to Bayom. So the answer that Rashi gives us is that Shehamikdash Nisraf Balaila, because the Beis Hamikdash was lit or kindled, the flame to burn it was done at night. Damamar Le'is Erev Yitzisobo Asar. That's when they ignited the flame. Dabracha. Another explanation is Balaila Laila Shabachir Maraglim Tisha B'Av. So since the Jewish people cried on the night when they came back to report about their sightings in the land of Israel, therefore, this was another night that they would have to cry also at night. And the third explanation that Rashi gives is that someone who cries at night, Hashomea Kolo Bocha Imo, people who cry at night, it carries, it has a very powerful effect on those that are hearing it. Because it's not something that people want to lay down and go to sleep, but when they hear someone crying, it's quite unnerving. B'dimasa lachya, Rashi tells us, because it was the weeping was on her cheeks. You were crying so heavily that you can actually see the cheeks filling up with tears. Kora eha, so all those who loved her, all her friends, Rashi tells us, those are the people that turned against us. Galsa Yehuda me'oni pasuk gimel. That Yehuda, the Klal Yisrael, went into exile. Merov avoda, he ashva b'goyim lo matza b'noach, because of all the affliction, right? Rashi tells the pasuk tells us that there was no comfort, there was no way of settling down. Kol rodefeha hisiguha, all those that chased after her overtook her. So Rashi tells us that when it says Golsi Yehuda, when we were exiled from our land, because of our affliction, because of the Yeshua Bagoyim, that Bemakamsha Golsa Bayashvala Lomatsama Noach, wherever we went, we couldn't find a place to rest. The word Bena Mitzarim is referring to a place that even in the crevices, there was no place to hide from the onslaught. And this refers to a difficult time in the Jewish calendar year, during Shavuot Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, when the siege began around Yerushalayim until the kindling of the flame at night of the 9th of Av. So Mitzarim refers to that time period. And that's also a time period that if you have business to do with others, you should probably wait until tomorrow, Chatzos, in order to go about it. Pasuk Dalet, Darchei Tzion Abelus, Mibli Ba'ei Moed, that the roads of Tzion, of Eretz Yisrael, are mournful because no one comes to the, because of the lack of Ba'ei Moed. What is Ba'ei Moed? Appointed season is the way that we define it in English, but Rashi tells us this refers to the Olei Regalim. That at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when it was destroyed, that's what was felt most desolate. In fact, even today, Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem is booming, and we're experiencing now in Eretz Yisrael, I mean, the contrast is quite extreme. We've never had so many people learning in Eretz Yisrael as we do today. And one of the highlights of the calendar year are the regalim, when everyone comes to visit Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. That's when all the Olei Regel come to join together with everybody else. Here the Pasuk is telling us that there was no one coming, even during a time when we would expect people to be there. Kol Shorea Shomimim, that all the gates are desolate. Kohanah Nanachim, that the Kohanim were moaning. Bisuloseha Nugos Behim Allah, that the word Nugos is another expression of grief, that that it was felt acutely by those besul aseha, that the people in the streets were found to be very despondent. Rashi, so next pasuk, we just built in Rashi to that explanation. Pasuk hey hayitzarel arosh ayveha shalo ki Hashem hoga arov pishaeha, that the enemies became the head, Hayat Sareha LaRosh, that the enemies became the head. Shaluki Hashem Hoga Arov Pesheha, the enemies were at ease They became in charge, and they were not in any form of discomfort, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicted Klal Yisrael with because of the multitude of our sins, that they went into captivity before the enemy. Pasuk Vav, Vayetze Mibas Tzion Kol Hadara, and gone is the away of, you know, removed is all the splendor that Klal Yisrael is known for. Hayasara Kayalim, that the princes were like Ayalim, which refers to like a deer. Rashi tells us here, if you're looking to find water, you just have to follow the deer, because they always know where the water is found. But also similar to the Ayalim, they didn't have any strength to run away, and their strength was weakened by their physical hunger. And this also refers to following one following the other, that nobody was a leader, that the Sareha, the princes, were like animals in a sense that they did not exhibit leadership. Lo Matsu Mereh, they didn't have someone to guide them. Vayochub lo koach, and they went without any strength, lifnei rodev, before their pursuers. So here Rashi says the word rodev, kol rodev shebemekra chaser v'zeh malei. So the word rodev is usually spelled with a vav, but here Rashi is telling us is no, usually it's rodev without a vav, and here it is spelled with a vav. And the reason for that is because they pursued Klal Yisrael. Rashi tells us shenirdefu redifa shlema, that they pursued Klal Yisrael with full pursuit, meaning that they did not. Sometimes when someone's running, they run a little bit, then they stop, and then they gather their weapons together. But here, they didn't stop for anything. They just kept on pursuing the Jewish people. Pasuk Zayin, Zachro Yushalayim, remember the days of Yushalayim, Yimei Anya Murdeha Kol Machmudeha Shahayu Mimei Kedem. Remember the days of poverty, Yimei Anya Umrudeha, and misery, Kol Machmudeha, and all of the precious things, Ashahayu Mimei Kedem, that we had from days of old, Binfol Ama, when our people fell, Biyad Tsar, into the hands of our enemies, Ve'eno Zerla, and there was no one to help us, Ru'u Atzarim, they saw us in our state of despair, Sachaku Al Mishpateha, and they gloated by our desolation, which is a very painful pasuk. There's a lot of painful pasukim in Perek Aleph and Beis. I'm trying today to go through Perek Aleph, but we'll see how we're up to Perek Pasuk Zion. So we're almost halfway there. Rashi tells us that the Yemei Anya refers to the days of destruction, the days of poverty. So when destruction happens, poverty sets in. Kol Machmudeha, that she remembered all the good things of her precious things that were from days of old. Remember, it's like people saying, remember the good old days? So there, this phrase obviously comes from this Rashi, V'zarcha kol tov, Machmudeha, shemimei kedem. Remember the good old days when we had all these things? Sachaku al mishpateha, Rashi tells us, that the nations of the world, the Goyim, were joyous when we were no longer able to celebrate our festivals. Simchu al shavisas misos chaga, chadsha v'shavta umakam acher. So this refers to the cessation of festivals, and meaning the new moon, Rosh Chodesh. We weren't able to celebrate Shabbos. But once we went into exile, right, Rashi tells us over here, Achashot Yeshovtim Bagola, Vishabasos, Vyamim Tovim, Vishomtim Vishvias, Vayomas Mesachim Aleim, Vahorim Shotim, Baratzachem, Oshamartim Bachsha Bagola, Shamartim, Tishmarun. So Rashi is telling us that when we were living in the land of Israel, we didn't take these mitzvahs seriously. We did not keep the Chodesh, Kiddush HaChodesh. We did not keep Shabbos. We did not keep Shemitah. And now all of a sudden, that we're no longer in the land of Israel, we've been exiled, that's when we start to follow these laws. So this allowed them to mock the Jewish people. Chet chatal Yerushalayim pasachas al kein lenida haisa hayasa, that we sinned. Chet is another language of sin. Another more serious form of description of sin is poshea. So here the Kedushas Levi brings down that the word chet means that it's like the pasuk by yischatu asam esbeach, they cleaned the mizbeach, meaning that there's a time when things, like you set up a table and you know, you invite a friends over, and at the end of the meal or at the end of the party, you got to clean up after yourself. So that's something that comes and goes, meaning it's part of the process. And it's nothing more serious than an infraction, an oversight of some sort, a chet. It's something that you were tempted to do, but that's not something that you're openly rebelling against Hashem to show Hashem, hey, look, it's Yom Kippur, I'm eating a cheeseburger, or I'm going into a mikvah with a sheretz, because those are the people that a potion about mordim, says the Chazal, ain Jerusalem. There's no redemption for someone who openly taunts Hashem. However, here the Navi Yirmiyahu is saying that we were, so to speak, in a state of an infraction where we deviated from what we needed to do. Therefore, it was a chet, but it was a serious one. And that's why he uses a double language, chet chata Yerushalayim. Akin l'nida haisa, Rashi tells us that this is not referring to a nida per se, but it's referring to the language of nav and nud, tieba aretz, that we were strangers in our own land and we had to move out. So nav and nud is a language to when Cain killed Hevel, there was a reference to nav and nud, tieba aretz, that you will become like a wanderer. And my Rebbe once said, in the name of his father, Rabbi Moshe Davitano said, in the name of Rabbi Yitzhak Isaac, that Nav Anud is the worst punishment because it refers to Nish Essen, Nish Davinin. You can't eat and you can't daven. So if you can't eat and drink and you can't pray, what kind of Jewish life is this? So that's just a little bit of humor in a very difficult pasuk. Aisakol Mahmudeha is Iluha Kirah Rasa. That that the nations of the world saw us at our weakened state. Na'anacha refers to, in the passive, it refers to that they heard that we are sighing, like someone says, like, oh, you know, it's like they're wiped out, or they're vanquished, or they're completely shot for the day. They had a very long, exhausting fast, which we're going through now as Klal Yisrael is getting toward the more than the 80% mark. Well, oh, close to the 80% mark, but we're moving through the day, and it's tough. So when we want to express something without words, the way that they did it back then, the word nanacha means that they just exasperated or they sighed, as Rashi tells us. The Kedushas Levi, just to close out, says something also interesting. And just to close out this Chet Chata Yerushalayim, Akin L'Nida Haisa, that there's a time when things are not going so well, but at the end of the day, when after, you know, a baby is brought into the world, then that's a joyous moment. So this is not a permanent deviation from Torah mitzvahs, but rather a temporary blockage in our understanding of what is necessary for us to perform, and how we should be acting and following those mitzvahs. So pasuk test begins, Tumasa b'shuleha, her uncleanliness is in her skirts. That refers to lo zachrach risa, Tumasa b'shuleha. Rashi tells us this is an expression of genai. What does it mean? That means that when someone is anida, when a girl's anida, so it's covered up, but in this particular reference, it's referring to something that's visible, and that refers to, even though we try to cover up our sins and say, oh, we didn't do it, or we did it at night, or no one saw us do this sin or that sin, here, all the sins of Eros became conspicuous, and they were clear for everyone to see. Lo zachrach risa, she was not mindful of her end, meaning when a person sins, they're not thinking about the end result. So therefore, Rashi is telling us over here, lo natnu lev matiach reyam lefikach. They weren't thinking about what will be in the end. Lefikach vatera pelayim yerdatam niflaot pelayim harbe shakop liam shirala mashlo yira lekolayir. That it means that it's not something that happens all the time, but it's something that is clearly very unusual circumstance of where everyone became very much aware of all of the infractions that Klal Yisrael had committed. So again, Tumasa b'shalel la zachra achrisa, she was not mindful of the end result. Pilaim e menachem la, she fell astonishingly with no one to comfort her. Re'e Hashem esanyi, Hashem see my affliction, ki higdil oyev, because the enemy has magnified himself. Pasuk Yud, Yado parash tsar al kol machmodeha, that the enemy has stretched forth his hand upon all of her precious things. And the word Yado parash tsar refers to Ammon and Moab. And al kol machmodeha, Rashi tells us, Sifrei Torah, that refers to the Sifrei Torah. That's the most chamud, that's the most precious thing that we have. Right, so Pasuk says over here, Shemar Behem, Hanachmadim Yizav, Hakol Nifnul Avuz, Kasav Ezahav, Behem Nifnim Asipre Toros, Kadesh Lesarfam, Lepishakasa Behem, Lo Yavo Amoni Bekal Hashem. There's a very, very powerful Rashi that the children of Ammon and Moab were very upset and they plundered everything. And they turned on the Sifrei Torah as well in order to burn them. Why? Because it says that they're not allowed to enter into the Jewish people. You would think that that wouldn't be something that they would, you know, be upset about. Here, I guess they're looking for inclusion, but this is not something that that Akash Baruch Hu wanted them to be invited to join us. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Ashal okin maschem balechem uvamayim." Because they didn't give us bread and water when we left Mitzrayim. And the reason why they're at fault, and this is up for a longer discussion, and if you're looking for the source of all this, it's in Yevamos Daf Ayin Zayin, of, you know, the fact that they descended from Lot, and Lot was a beneficiary of Avram's chasadim. And therefore, in the same way that Lot benefited from Avram, from which we descend from, So too, Ammon and Moab should have provided us with the necessary provisions in order to sustain us during our time of need. Asher tzivisi lo yavo b'kal Hashem. Again, Rashi tells us this refers to Ammon and Moab. Kol aman ne'anachim mevachshim lechem. All the people are sighing in their search for bread. Natnu machmadehem. They gave away their treasures. Ochel, in order to buy food, so they had to sell everything, and it must have been super hyperinflation. There was nothing that was worth much at all. So anything that someone had really coined as valuable, that was what they had to give away in order just to buy a little bit of flour and water. Lahoshiv nafesh, to bring back their soul. Re Hashem v'ibita ki ha'yisri zaleila. Look, Hashem, look how we became so cheap. Meaning that there's no value. Pasuk Yud Beis. Lu aleichem kol evrei derech ibitu uru im yesh makov kemakovai. All of you who pass along the road, it shouldn't happen to you, right? Uru im yesh makov kemakovai. Do you see any pain like the way I see this pain? Asher olali, that has happened and dealt to me. Yirmiyahu is referring to himself, but also looking at the population. Asher hoga Hashem b'yom charon apo, that Hashem has saddened me, meaning made us feel very alone on this day of fierce anger. Charon apo, fierce anger. Rashi tells us lo alechem. Rashi tells us lo te b'tzara k'tzara hazos od l'kol ovrei al das. Right, this shouldn't happen to anybody else. Yirmiyahu is saying that I don't even wish this upon my worst enemy. But look what's going on with us. Right? So it says, Adas Amru Chachamim Mikan Lekublana Min HaTorah Ru Ma'asali Hibitu Uru Vegomer. The word kublana is a very unusual word, and there's a greater discussion about what that refers to in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Moving along to Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mimarom Shalach Eish Bas Mosai Vayardena. Hashem has hurled fire onto my bones, and Vayardena, and it broke them. Parash Rashas L'raglai. He has spread a net for my feet. Heshivani achor. He has turned me back. Nisanani shomema kolayom dava. He has made me desolate and feeling faint all day long. Rashi tells us on the word vayirdena, this refers to the he heard fire. Into the word vayirdena is a reference to the fire that came into the bones, that it broke them by your dena, like it's something, it's like your rod, meaning like to go down, meaning like it was a very powerful blow to the Jewish people, that it pulsated throughout their body. And over here, the rest of the pasuk refers to ha'atzmos yaveshos shever kol achas va'achas, that the bones felt withered, right? That's what Rashi is referring to over here. I'm just translating as we go through to myself out loud. And this is it's like being pummeled, essentially, what Rashi is describing over here. It felt like someone gave like a blow in the stomach. You really feel it. And just to take a step back, anybody who reads Eicha the way we're trying to read it here, it's quite overwhelming. You feel it. Yirmiyahu really was the prophet of doom and destruction, but he has over here a very powerful way of describing the events that transpired. Pasuk Yudal Niskad Al Pisha'ai Biyado, that the yoke of my transgressions was marked in Hashem's hand. Alu Al Tzavari Hichshil Kochi, it came upon my neck, and Hichshil Kochi means like Kochi is referring to strength, Hichshil refers to weakening. So the strength was weakened. Adoni bide lo chalkum, that Hashem delivered me into my enemies. I can't withstand this. So what does Rashi tell us? Nishkad o pisha'e biado, that the yoke of my transgressions was marked, right? What does that refer to? The word nishkad, Rashi tells us, is a very unusual word. It refers to Melamed Habakar, it's like a yoke on top of an ox in order to keep it, you know, trained on the field. It's a very heavy weight, and that's what it felt like, what was around our necks when we were going through this difficult time. Moving along to the next Pasuk Tezvav, Sila kol abirei adoni, that Hashem trampled all my men. Bikirbi kara alai moed, lishbar bachurai gam gas darach adonai levsulot bat yoda. So it says that Hashem trampled all my mighty men in my midst. Karai Eli, he called out to me, Moed, as like an assembly, not a holiday, because this is not, right? Lishpor Bachurai, to crush the young men. Gas Darach, that, you know, Adonai, Hashem, like, so to speak, like a wine press. He crushed, like when you crush the grapes to create wine, or when you crush the olives to create olive oil. That's what happened to Lubsulat Bat Yuda, to the virgin daughter of Yuda, because we as a nation were crushed. Rashi tells us here that the word kara elai moed, yidos gaisos lavo alai rabaseno darshu, that it's like a gathering of troops that come against me. And rabaseno darshu, ma shadarshu tamuz, Deushata, that this is a time, right? Meleach shel shana shnia letzeis mimitzrayim, that it was the second year from Tammuz. That year was the second year Exodus from Egypt. Therefore, this happened. What happened during that time? That's when the Meraglim came back and conveyed their story about their hesitation of conquering Eretz Yisrael. Gas derach, derach. And that is, Rashi tells us, the literal translation according to here refers to like trodden like a wine press. But Rashi telling us it was an expression of a massacre, that that's how much blood was spilled. Al ela ani bochia pasuk tezayin, and for these reasons I cry, eini eini yordamayin, that my eye sheds tears. Rashi tells us kolomar tamid ena yordamayim kafa losha malam she'ena bugot, that there was no let up; it just kept on pouring. There comes a point where it's there's just no tears left, right? And that's another pasuk that we'll get to. So, ki rochak mimeni menachem, because to comfort me is very distant. Mishiv nashi hayu banai shomimim, that my children are desolate. Ki gavar ye, because my enemy has prevailed. Parshat Zion biyadeha, that Zion spreads out her hands for help. That the word parsa Zion biyadeha, Rashi tells us, kamo upirish yada bikirbo kaadam, hamolich yado molichem umeviyam umstar lehem, that it's like a person who spreads out his hands. He moves his hands back and forth to demonstrate his pain, and to demonstrate the pain that he's feeling. Devacher parsha tzion lashon shavira, that refers to a form of breaking down the resolve of the Jewish people, as we see later on in Perek Dalet. Uparish ein lehem lekabel lenachmo al meis, there was no one to console our brothers when they saw all of the death that surrounded them. Tziva Hashem liyakov, so the continuing in the pasuk parsha tzion biyadeha, again this refers to a form of crushing humiliation. Ein menachim la, there's no comfort. Tziva Hashem liyakov siviv tzara haisa, Hashem had commanded this to happen concerning the house of Yaakov. Tzara haisa, that we went through many difficulties. Yushalayim lanida b'neiam, Yushalayim. In this case, the word lanida refers to an outcast. It refers to a disgrace. And Hashem decreed that Yaakov would be surrounded by enemies. Even when they were exiled to Bavel, right? Tziva ol Yaakov shal yitzaro suviva al kishagalo lebavel ula Ashur and to Assyria. Higla sancherev esoyveyam Amon and Moab. Then Sancherib exiled their enemies as well, Amon and Moab, and settled them beside them, right? Roshiva Metzlehem, Behem Mekantarim Osam. And they would taunt them. As it says in Kiddushin, that Hamonia Echa Bebabel Kula Diamnoa. That refers to that when Homnaya, this is like Rashi telling us, that they were very close in proximity to the Jewish people, Amr Moav, and they taunted the Jewish people there. Pasuk Yud Ches, Tzadik Hu Hashem Kipiu Marisi, Hashem is righteous because I have rebelled against Hashem with my mouth. Shimonu Akala Amim, let all the nations hear. Uru Makavai, and let them see me in my pain. Bisulosai Ubachorai Hochu Bashevi, that the maidens and the young people, they went into captivity. No Rashi is here. Yates. Karasi lema'avai. Rashi tells us, what does that refer to? I call to my lovers, those who make the lo'osam shem meri'im atzman ke'o'avim, These are people that make themselves look like they really love us, but Hema Rimuni, they ended up deceiving me. Rashi tells us these are the children of Yishmael. Kigon b'nei Yishmael shayotzim lekras hagolim, because they came out to see us on the road, and they acted as though they were compassionate to us, right? And they gave us flasks of canteens, but there was like salty foods. And when the Jewish people breathed in that air, they ended up dying. And so that's the that was how they deceived us. Kohanayus kenai ba'ir gavo, that the priests, that the kahanim and the elderly perished in the city. Ki bikshu ochel, because they were looking for food. Lamo v'yoshivu asnafsham, in order to revive their souls. Pasachaf, Rei Hashem kitzar li me'ai chamar moru. Look, Hashem, I am in distress. My innards are burning. Kitzar li me'ai, that my innards are in pain. Ne'apach li bi bekirbi, my heart has turned within me, kimaru marisi, because I have rebelled. Kimaru marisi michutz shikla charev, in the street, where shikla charev avayas kamavas, that in the street the sword causes death. In the house, it feels like death. So outside in the street, inside in the house, there's no comfort. Rashi tells us that word chamar moru refers to shriveled. They became shriveled. Kitzivui v'yesh b'lashon misha nifla la'ar v'nech moru v'nei me'yameha. That it's like when someone says, my insides are killing me, or my stomach is hurting me, or like, you know, I feel like you went on you heard terrible news and your stomach drops. That's what the word chamar moru refers to. And then Bives Kamoves, in the house, it is like death. That's referring to that there was a fear of Shadim, there was a fear of Mazikim, that even when the people were in a quote unquote safe place, they still were very much in danger. Pasuk of Aleph, Shimu. Listen, there's no comfort that you can give to me. That all of my enemies have heard of my trouble. And what did they do? Sasu kiata asisa hevesa yom karasa v'yukamoni. They did it to us. But, you know, this is already like a rebuke of what the people were saying to Hashem, right? They did this to us because you caused it to happen to us. Ki ata asisa, you did this. You caused them, Rashi tells us. Ata yigamata li shehem sonimosi. You caused the nations of the world to hate me. Shivdilatani mi mimachalem umi mishteyem. Because you differentiated us. We can't eat Subway. Unless it's a kosher, you know, branch of it, but we can't eat non-kosher food, and we can't drink non-kosher wine, and that, and umischateyam, and we can't get married, right, bum, with them. So if nischan tani, if you would have had some compassion, then maybe they would have had mercy on us. So it's like, it's incredible that they were turning this around. Yirmiyahu is referring back to how the people were speaking, that they were blaming Hashem. He gave us all these rules. And now what do you expect? People get upset when there are differences between us. Hevesi Yom Karasa, that refers to halavai ve'hevesi aleihem yom ha'moed shekaras alai. That if only you had brought them a holiday such as, you know, something that they can all congregate around. But you kamoni, and let them be like me also. in a form of distress. Why are you singling out the Jewish people? Why is it that we're the ones to suffer? Why is it that we can't just simply be like the rest of the nations of the world? So, Tavol Karas Lefanecha, all of the wickedness is going to come before Hashem. Ve'ola Lamo, Tavol Karas Lefanecha, that Rashi tells us, Yiskru V'yifkidu Avonosam Lefanecha. All of that, our transgressions will be brought before Hashem. Ve'ola Lamo, and the word Ola Lamo refers to like a child can disguise himself with his deeds, right? It's Zupo Lamo Kimo Kimimalal Yisnaker V'chafri Me'olal, that it's like in accordance to the fruit of his deeds. So we'll see. We'll be able to come full circle here. Tavo Korasam Fanacha, all of the wickedness will come before you. Kasher Olalta, right? Ve'ola Lamo Kasher Olalta Li, as they happen to me. Akol Pisha'ai, for all of my transgressions, kirabos anchosi v'libi davoy, because for my size, my heart is faint. Basically, the Jewish people are saying that there is an accounting, we understand, but it's going to, you know, we often think that it's not going to be, you know, credited to our account. Here it is credited to our account, but not in a positive way. And that concludes chapter one. I see we're at 3:46. I'm going to try to go into... well, maybe what I'll do here is just say a few words about Eicha. The first two chapters that if you comb through, you'll see that they follow the Aleph Beis. We said this, we'll close out with some thoughts about the word Eicha, that we have what we call the Aleph Beis over here. And in English, we call it alphabet. Alpha Bet is Aleph Bet. And in Greek, we say Alpha Beta. I heard an interesting share from Rabbi Mansour about Aleph Bet. So it means that we were in violation of the Torah that was written with the Aleph Beis. And I think I mentioned this the other night. Here we're saying that there's a certain level of structure to these prakim where they follow one into the next, one letter follows the next. However, in Perek Beis, there is a shift by Pasuk Tezvav, Samach, and Pasuk Tezayin. It jumps over to Pei. And then Yud Zayin reverts back to Ayin. So after Samach, we know comes an Ayin. But in Perek Beis, deviating from Perek Aleph, we jump to the letter Pei. And then we revert back to Ayin. And then after that, we carry back forward to the letter Tzadi. So the question is, why is this happening in this situation? So there was one explanation that we basically jumped our peh, our mouth, before our ayin. And when we saw, when the Jewish people saw the land of Israel, they jumped to speak before digesting everything in their mind to understand that it wasn't as difficult as they viewed it to be. Their mouth spoke before their thought. And for us, it's a way for us to learn from this, that before we say anything, we should think before we speak. Because once the words leave our mouths, they can never be taken back. And with that, we conclude Perek Aleph. And Be'ez Hashem, next year, we'll try to go through Perek Beis and going forward. Okay, thank you.
Morty. Morty, you have a voice. You could go on for another two brackets. So I've been running from jumping from share to share and from place to place, picking whatever I thought I'd be interested in. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't get back into the place that I was in. It kind of moved. Did you ever have that happen, Morty? Like a move, yeah. Shifted, and then I couldn't get back in. And then it took me forever. Sorry, I missed one of the speakers who actually had a good message, very interesting message. It's interesting that everybody takes Eicha and Tisha B'Av, and you see so many different ways of talking about it. I find that very fascinating. I also find the word Eicha interesting because if you think of it, it's like Ayeka, where is Hashem? Oh. And you have that's It's my thing. I don't know if anyone said it. Is that a new thing
Yeah,
to you?
Rav Salavitchik said that. I was going to
Yeah,
mention that.
he
I'm
did.
glad you mentioned
So, like, it
it.
also
In Rav
has.
Salavitchik's sefer, he talks about Ayei Ko, because what is it about Ko? Ko Sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael. That the word Ko always ushers in a blessing. And here, the question is, where is the blessing? Everything is so difficult and so challenged. And it really comes to highlight the fact that when we do something, there is a consequence to everything that we do. It's not something that we're comfortable talking about, but it's definitely something that there's an accounting, and it's
The way I
difficult.
think about it is your type of thing, Morty. This is your type of thing. Ayei Ko, sometimes you have words that change, like a samach and a shin. So to me, like the chaf and Hashem's name, like yud kei vav kei. So like I was thinking of Ayei Ko, like where is Hashem? In other words, that was the problem. The problem was that they weren't thinking of Hashem. And this is what was the root of all these issues. Like if
Right.
they would have thought that there was going to be some sort of something that they're going to get a, you know, at the end of the line, that there is a Hashem up there, therefore we shouldn't be doing these things. Yirmiyahu lived during the time of the Churban. Do you realize that he was Misnabe, and he also lived during the time while the other ones were Misnabe before, like years before.
That's true.
You feel his pain. You actually really feel it. It's just a very hard Megillah.
Yeah,
Every time I go through it, every time, and I'm like ready to cry all over again, you know. And then everyone compared it to the October 7. We got the Rav Daniel Gladstein second time around, of you know, the comparisons of October 7 and now, and the days, which I think you said, didn't you say that also?
I
That
didn't
there
touch
were,
October
you
7th,
didn't
but
touch that subject. Someone was saying
no,
that the
yeah.
amount of days of Sukkot was the same amount of days as and Rosh Hashanah, you know, all those have 15 days, is it? Whatever. Well, how many days is it? I forgot what they said already. The days were the exact number as our 3 weeks. So you have the same amount of days from what, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot? Do you have that? 15?
Yeah, 15. So it's, yeah, it's exactly
They did a
15 days.
comparison with it and compared how and what and something about a moed of Tisha B'Av, which I'm not getting yet. I guess it will be a moed, but like I'm not getting why it's a moed exactly.
We're hopeful that the Beis HaMikdash will come back on the day that we are so we're really doing close to the Teshuvah on a very high level, almost as close to what we will do on Yom Kippur. We're in a season of Tashrak. We are in a season of Tishrei, even though we haven't hit it yet, but we're really there. And
We're
Tishrei
getting
is moving,
there, yeah.
yeah, Tishrei is moving backwards, right? It's being Chos HaBetshuva, Tav Shin Resh. It's going backwards.
Right.
The other
That's
season
interesting.
is Aviv, which is Hayom Atam Yotzei B'Chodesh Aviv, is a language of moving forward, meaning forget about what you did in the past. And we were on a level of 49th level Tumah. Hashem decided to take us out. So now that will be a cause for the Gula to happen, which is what happened during Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now we're hoping that in the time of when we do self-reflection, as Yirmiyahu has outlined in Perek Aleph, and as he outlines throughout the Megillas Eicha, you know, it's time for us to look at what we've done wrong, own it, and then
Yeah,
to do
to be nachbaos, which is the same thing we say, by the way, then. We say the same thing then, that we have to repent and we have to return to tshuva. So we have to look inside of us as to what we did wrong in order to repent, you know? And it's the same language. He said it's the same language as, I think, did you say that? One of the rabbis said it in sheer enjoyment, that it's the same nigun. Did you say that? Was that one of yours?
Oh no, we do on Shabbos. We lane. Some don't say it with the niggun on Shabbos because they believe the Shabbos is only a happy day. So some people don't. Echa you know.
Echa yeshva badad here, Rabbi Sian, it's the same thing as nachbasa another thing Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Am I doing that right, Morty?
I think
I think
so.
it's right. But you know, it's the same nigun that we have to return. And then we use the same language at the very end of Eicha as we do then, which is when do we say that also by Rosh Hashanah HaShemelech v'neshuvah chadesh yimeinu k'kedem. Don't we
Oh,
say it
that's,
somewhere else?
yeah, no, we say that every during Aseret Mitzvah. We
Right.
say that before Rosh Hashanah. We say that
Right.
in Yom Kippur. That's
Exactly.
a pretty
So that's what
popular.
he was comparing. I think that's what he was comparing to it. I believe it's Robert Gladstein. I wrote so many notes that my fingers are flying off, literally. But anyway, I thank you. It was very kind of you. You know that.
Okay, well, thank
Seriously, you gave up yourself on Tisha B'Av without a drink, without anything.
Well, we're trying our best. Everyone's doing their share,
Yes.
and thank you, Ellie and Mitch and
Yeah.
Sandy and yourself for joining today. So easy, fast, and all the
And
very
easy
best.
path, everybody. It's almost over. Take
It
care,
was my
everyone.
pleasure. It should go off very nice.
Yeah, you're lying down already. He's in a lie down
No,
position.
no,
But you don't
I
say that,
haven't
doesn't help you
gone.
sleep, Ellie.
Sleep, Ellie. It's not meant to
Are
make
you
you sleep.
okay, Ellie?
Yeah, I'm fine.
No
Yeah, I'm
headaches?
just not feeling that great. I'm fasting, but I'm just not feeling so great.
Did you drink a lot before the fast, like my rabbi told me?
I was very well satiated. I had soup and I had water. Yeah, I had
He told us
seltzer.
to drink a lot of water, at least 8 cups, and he'd start from Shabbos. He told us Shabbos that. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. So Monday, I didn't stop drinking all night. I was in the bathroom. I'm telling you, I don't remember how many bottles of water I drank yesterday. But in any case, it does help you a lot, though, because it hydrates, you
No,
know?
I'm totally fine, Baruch Shem. I'm just
Refuslam, I feel good. It's
didn't
almost
sleep
over.
so well.
Morty, it was really great. I'm telling you. Right? Mitchell's
Yes.
exhausted. Mitch, you
So,
tired?
I'm hanging in there. So I presume
Wait, I'm getting off.
Echa chapter one according to Rashi. Is that a good enough title
I was
or
just saying, like maybe Echa with Rashi.
Echa
It's in
with
the
Rashi. Okay.
first sentence of chapter two.
Echo with Rashi
Echa
one. You
chapter
have to do
one
a
with
one
Rashi.
because he's going to do a two, Mitchell.
I'm going to do it too. When? I don't know, but I'm going to try to do it too.
Reminds me of when I did Michael's Esther. I did something similar. Mitchell remembers, I know.
Wait, you did Megillah's Esther. I remember that.
Did it a few times.
I don't
I
remember
did
what
a
you said.
similar
I
style.
forgot.
I read from the Gemara though, instead of Rashi, which was very similar to what you did.
Well, there's nothing like Megillah say Esther, you know that one.
Yeah, no, I have to tell like Esther a lot, but
Yeah.
Esther Pollock too. I like
Yeah.
Esther and I like Esther Pollock.